Vickley and Murata. Social Studies. Brought to you by Carol Royce Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Get more money selling your home. Go to carolhasthebuyers.com. That's carolhasthebuyers.com.
I have a feeling I know what the gist of social studies will be today. It's going to be playoff related, I'm thinking, right, Sarah?
Diamondbacks off-season news.
Okay.
Let's start there.
Ooh. Have they had
Has
any?
There been any?
Yeah.
Been any?
Yeah. Not really.
There was one.
No.
There was one news. I will take one news, please.
They're on season news.
Well, we do have maybe some news. J.J. Watt, in case you guys haven't seen it, 12 minutes ago tweeted a little hype video. No caption, no anything.
Yeah,
just
I saw it.
Like a super cut, you know, kind of get hyped for tonight's game video. I have a feeling he would not be tweeting a video of this type if you were not participating in the game. So if you haven't seen it already, at J.J. Watt is where he tweeted it.
At Bickley _ Murata, because I retweeted it.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
At Bickley _ Murata. And that's where our questions for social studies go as well. Haha. Welcome into social studies, everyone. We do it every day at 9 o'clock. We get your input via Twitter on the top stories of the day. Let's talk about the Cardinals and the Rams. Let's start with the Cardinals. Specifically, Kyler Murray is someone you two have pointed to for quite some time now as the player who most needs to step up and take over for the Cardinals in this game. So putting Kyler Murray aside, which other Arizona Cardinal most needs to step up for the Cardinals to win tonight?
J.J. Watt.
What?
I'm going to say
four
Chandler
sacks.
Jones. Chandler Jones needs to have one of them games, one of those around the edge, beating guys with the speed. Strip sack here, pressure there, that kind of game.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm going to offer a different name, though.
Okay.
Byron Murphy.
Mm.
Yes. Byron Murphy has been spectacular at times this year. I'm not, you know, his struggles have kind of coincided with the Cardinals' struggles down the stretch. They need good Byron Murphy to show up tonight against a very talented receiving corps for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Did he show up in any of the responses?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good.
In fact, let's see. Shy Sox AZ, said Byron Murphy Jr. Remember his dominance during the 7-0 run? Our defense really seemed to free up the offense during that stretch. JJ Go Fast says, whoever is covering Cooper Kupp will need to step up the most. Jesus Gutierrez points to Chandler Jones. He needs to get to Matthew Stafford. He might not get the sack, but if he can pressure Stafford, that could lead to an interception, potentially a pick six. Chuck points to AJ Green, catch the damn ball, oh, and turnaround two. And Dude in the Desert has a couple suggestions for who needs to step up the most.
Okay.
AJ Green, Christian Kirk, Zach Ertz, James Conner, Chase Edmonds, JJ Watt, Marco Wilson, that's Bashaud funny. Breeland, Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons, Jordan Hicks, Buda Baker, Matt Prater, just to name a few.
It might not be one guy that needs, it's the playoffs. Everybody needs to elevate.
On Dan's point, though, it would be nice to come in tomorrow with the mindset of, boy, does this prove that the Cardinals should give Chandler Jones a new contract? Like, how long have we even...
Make him force the issue?
How long has it been since we've even thought about that? Because he's sort of disappeared.
Yeah, no, I know. This is the time to make money.
By the way, I sampled a little bit of that hype video.
Yes.
Patrick Peterson's in it making an interception.
Oh, whoops. Okay.
Kind of a weird video.
Who put this together? I'm sure J.J. Watt cut his own hype video.
Anywho.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next question. We love to do song titles or song lyrics during social studies.
Well, Jared does.
What? Come on. I think you enjoy it, too. As a guy who knows his music well. Open-ended question. Which song title or lyric best describes how you are feeling about tonight's game against the Rams?
On the days I don't check the questions ahead of time, there's always a lyrical question, and I never have any ammunition to answer the question.
Nothing ever pops to your mind right away there, huh?
Not really.
No?
You got one, Bick?
No. I don't.
Very cool.
Good.
Yeah, right. Read some examples. And
social studies is not just about us. It's about everyone.
Yeah, exactly. That is true. Let's see. Ray. I like this. Seek and Destroy.
Ooh, Metallica.
From Metallica.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a strong one.
That's very good.
Jason Schaff says, I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax, from Talking Heads.
Okay.
Jason Kibsey does not seem to be too optimistic because the lyric he dropped is, school's out for summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think he thinks this is it. For
seasons out for
season.
Winter.
Exactly. Of course, we've got an 8 Mile Eminem lyric from RC. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Yo.
Or twice
Yo.
If you win.
Right.
Yeah.
Or twice. That's true.
Under pressure.
Yep, that one shows up all the time. Josh Perlman, I believe that this is a song title, Freaking Out by Arizona. Very apropos.
I like Daylight Films, his offering. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. If there's a song that can get anybody pumped up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hate the famous.
Drive the spear
right into the beating heart.
I'm ready to play now. All right, maybe
dive into the well of madness and start swimming. Embrace
also,
the crazy.
The lyrics from the Tool song, I can't remember which one it is, Anima or Schism or something, but it's the one about, you know. It's all about Los Angeles.
Yeah, that
any
would
blinking
be,
time, any blinking day.
Anima.
Learn to swim, see you down in Arizona Bay.
Yeah.
Brian Kay, the song title or lyric that best describes how he feels about tonight's game, Tequila. Yeah, that's good. All right, moving on to our final question.
Deep lyrics in that song.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Whenever we used to listen to that song, my dad used to, the first time I ever, he was like, oh, I read something that the guy who wrote this song was so nervous. He was standing the whole time. Wait till you hear this, Jarrett. He was practicing all night for this big performance. And he just kept like hyping it up. And then the very last thing is like, Tequila.
That's great. Final question. Oh, man, we are looking back to yesterday's Cowboys 49ers game. We talked about it earlier in the show. Just a brutal ending for Cowboys fans. The clock running out on the team as they failed to get the ball to the ref for him to spot it before starting the next play. So they just watched time tick off the clock, and that was the end of the game.
Poor Cowboy fans had their championship dreams dashed by the officials.
Snatched.
Man, terrible.
I know. We are asking, open-ended question, what is the most painful, heart-wrenching way that anyone has lost a game?
I saw that. Yeah, to me, I keep going back to that Seahawks loss to the Patriots in the Super Bowl, and it really was just an amazing turnabout and moment in time, especially if you were there live, and then the effect that it had on the Patriots or the Seahawks afterwards was just unbelievable. So yeah, that's where I'm voting.
I got a couple. Red Sox Game 6 loss in 86 to the Mets through the legs. Buckner botching that. It still,
but you
I
know
mean, they've
what?
Won World Series since then, and it still haunts Red Sox fans.
Mookie Wilson swears to this day that even if Bill Buckner did not boot that ball, he would have beat him to the bag.
He was motoring down the line.
Interesting take.
The other one for me is, and I know it's not as big as a Super Bowl, and Malcolm Butler's interception to beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl was huge. But I can't, as somebody who's invested emotionally in a college rivalry, I can't imagine losing a football game to my most bitter, hated rival when it's six laterals and the marching band is on the field.
Oh, yeah, right.
Stanford losing to Cal that day. Man,
I thought you were going to say you can't imagine when your kicker kicks an extra point into his center's butt and you lose that way. Yeah, does that happen to this one?
That was painful, but that was nothing compared to the band is on the field.
Yeah.
We'll never see anything like that ever again.
Cindy Snyder said the Territorial Cup anytime your team gets beat. Fortunately, I have no idea what that is like. RC says a person named Santonio Holmes catching, in air quotes, a ball in the back of the end zone to win the Super Bowl. Most painful way for a team to lose a game. Michael Marshall, Santonio Holmes, toe touch. I actually cried. Yoko Solo just posted a graphic of the Falcons having a 28-3 lead over the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
That was rough.
Yes, that sure was.
Oh,
The 1997 Rose Bowl. Nothing has ever compared to that pain. That one got a lot of responses. And then JT in the AZ says Paxson for three is the only correct answer.
Yeah, that was rough too. I'm looking.
You've got a lot of experience.
ESPN right now is putting up like the montage of all the Cowboy fan memes from last.
Oh my goodness.
They supplied the internet with sad reactions for decades to come.
Oh, wow. This is my first time seeing this montage. There is a lot of despair and sadness here. Oh, my gosh. What is that chain he's wearing? Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
And then there was a massive brawl outside the stadium after the game.
Wait a minute. 49er fans don't get in fights
at
games?
No, this was Dallas on Dallas.
Oh, it was?
What? Why are they fighting each other?
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
the whole fan base is imploding.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
There you go. There's Social Studies. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah,
at Bickley _ Murata on Twitter. Revamping the schedule a little bit. Normally at 9:30 we'd hand out hardware. We're going to do that next because we're going to talk to a guy calling the game tonight for ESPN, Lewis Riddick, at 9:30. But we'll hand out some Monday hardware straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata Mornings on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
All right, welcome back to Bickley and Murata Mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Sarah Cazell, Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Jarrett Carlin. We are now going to arizonasports.com for today's poll question. And guys, I know you usually save your predictions for the end of the show on game days, but we are asking for your prediction now. Between the Cardinals and the Rams, who wins this game?
I am going to pick the Rams to win the game, but I'm going to pick it to be close, and I'm going to also state that I hope I'm wrong, and I think the Cardinals have a chance to pull off the quote-unquote upset. 31-27 LA.
I've been pretty open about my inability to pick the results of the Cardinals game, even though I spend all week studying and reading and listening and
talking about it.
So I'm going to use that psychology that Bick just used. I'll pick the Rams, and hopefully my losing streak continues.
Yeah, if Vince picks the Rams, the Cardinals are absolutely going to win this game.
We should ask Jarrett. It's Survivor Series, Jarrett. This is the one game you have to pick. Who's winning?
As I've pointed out, the rest of the NFC West is dead and done.
Yeah, they're done.
There's three teams left, meanwhile.
Yeah, right.
All right.
All right, 65% of our voters believe it will be the Cardinals who win this one. 35% voted for the Rams.
All right. Okay. Apropos of nothing, but hey.
Yeah.
Superstition more than anything.
Indeed.
Thank you, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage at arizonasports.com.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Handing out the hardware.
Yeah, Monday we hand out hardware. What does that mean? That's our version of the award show, and it's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Give them a call today. Join the Bickley and Murata Revolution, 480-435-3557, or online at revitalizeweightloss.com. Vic, what's your first award today?
The Want to Get Away Award, Vinny, and I'm giving it to the head referee who had to announce in Dallas to the crowd that the game is over. Now, if I were that dude who made that announcement, I would have run right to the mouth of that tunnel before I would have said that. Why is that rough running off the field? I would have stopped and gone, the game is over, and I'd be up the tunnel before I could
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
It could have been worse, though. Imagine if he had to make that similar announcement in Buffalo on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
What he would have been hit with.
Oh, boy. Right.
Considering what they threw on the field there.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Wow.
My first award.
Buffalo. That's all I got to say.
Buffalo. Man, it is a magical place. The Telling It Like It Is award. I'm giving it to Irvin Magic Johnson, who tweeted out the other night after the Lakers got destroyed by Denver. After being blown out by the Nuggets 133-96, we as Lakers fans can accept being outplayed, but we deserve more than a lack of effort and no sense of urgency. Owner Jeannie Buss, you deserve better. Players were asked about it afterwards. Russell Westbrook says he's entitled to his opinion. We've got no reaction to it. LeBron actually came out and tweeted out an apology to Lakers fans, promising they'd be better.
I love it. I absolutely love that.
If you have the ability to be better, then just be better.
Yeah. Well, it was like Magic's initial thing was sort of pointed at Russell Westbrook, although it didn't name him by name. And yeah, a lot of weirdness there.
Hey, Russell Westbrook had another turnover-free game.
Did he?
Yeah.
Turning over a catch here? They're a catch here, Vinny?
They lost by 100 points.
Okay. My next award is the Well Done Award. I'm giving it to my friend Jimmy Walker, the founder of Celebrity Fight Night here in the Valley. Today is the 80th anniversary of Muhammad Ali's birth. He would have been 80 today is what I am trying to say. They're running an event at St. Vincent de Paul today in honor of this. Mastro's Restaurant donated 500 steaks. Four of the top chefs in Phoenix are grilling up steaks for the homeless at St. Vincent de Paul.
Ooh, wow.
So well done. Not the steaks. Steak should be medium. Not me. I've seen the light.
Medium rare.
But well done to my friend Jimmy.
Medium rare.
It's a very good thing he's doing.
But I'm glad you're moving down that scale.
Yeah,
away from medium well.
Listen, I finally had an epiphany. I'm like, I've been doing it wrong all these years.
We've been saying.
I know.
Isn't that refreshing when you have those moments in life?
Yeah. I've been warned. I'm not saying I haven't been.
Yeah. My next award is the Subtlety Award, and I'm giving it to Troy Aikman of Fox.
Oh, this is good.
Who really did not want to be in Tampa, Florida yesterday.
Broadcast booth, Joe and Troy, and that game coming up, which is on CBS, which is the Dallas Cowboys hosting the San Francisco 49ers. We saw San Francisco with that overtime win in L.A. last weekend. That's going to be a good game.
It's going to be a great game. A really good game. I think there's a lot of people that like to be calling that game. But should be a lot of fun, and I think San Francisco is one of those teams that's just really tough.
He's got a point. I mean, well, it gets weird during playoff weekend, especially when you have that many games, that CBS, the network that broadcast AFC games, had the San Francisco-Dallas game.
Oh, so that's why he was angry. So CBS, when they had their selection, their slot to pick, they broke code.
And I don't think it's avoidable, but he also a little bit of disdain for having to call a one-sided game in Tampa.
Well,
a bad game.
He's worn the star on the helmet. It's probably better off that he wasn't there.
I mean, he had his blue and silver pom-poms in the booth. He just couldn't wave them where he was.
The You Forgot Two Words Award, and I'm giving it to Russell Wilson, who tweeted out yesterday, "Congratulations, Big Ben, legend, period, generational, period, end quote. He forgot the Delta and the Bravo." Forgot Two Words Award to Russell Wilson.
That's a good
one. See, I told that joke in the Jarrett Carlin way. Shut up, Jarrett.
My next award is the Dan Campbell is Off the Hook Award, and I'm giving it to Mike Tomlin, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Did you hear his pregame hit?
No.
What will your final message be to your team before you send them out here?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off. You know, this is not going to be for the faint of heart. We understand what type of game we're in. It's going to take a ridiculous effort and 60 minutes of it, and we're excited about it.
Turns out they all blinked.
Yeah,
have you ever heard that one before?
Don't blink.
If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
Right. Wow.
Started out good with the TJ Watt touchdown, and then kind of went downhill from there.
The failed motivational speech award goes to Jalen Hurts, who, according to people on the Eagles, delivered this impassionate, unbelievable fire and brimstone speech Saturday night before the game yesterday, telling the team how they will not be denied. And to a man, people left that meeting room thinking, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. And then they had to play the Bucs.
Yep.
And then it didn't work out too
worth
well.
Worth a shot.
Them.
I give Jalen Hurts how about something for the effort?
You know? Well, if you're Philadelphia, what did you see from Jalen Hurts? Did he make you say, okay, you know, we don't need Deshaun Watson? I don't think he said that.
No. But yeah, that was a mismatch. A lot of people thought that.
Yeah, no,
that what happened
true.
Was supposed to happen. My last award is the Good Mom Award, and I'm giving it to Donna Kelsey, the mother of Jason and Travis Kelsey. Did you hear this story?
I did.
She got to both games yesterday. Started out in Tampa, took a rickshaw to get to the airport, basically. Got on a flight to Kansas City and got there in progress to see one of her sons lose and one of them win.
And one of them throw a touchdown pass.
Yeah. He's had a pretty magical postseason resume.
Yeah.
That Travis Kelsey. There you go. There's Hardware. It's brought to you by Revitalize. Coming up next, we'll continue to get you ready for tonight's wild card matchup in L.A. Cardinals-Rams, one of the guys that'll call it on ESPN, Lewis Riddick, joins us next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Big Red Monday, presented by Sanderson Ford, with Bickley and Murata.
Yeah, less than 9 hours away from kickoff tonight. First Cardinals playoff game in 6 years. And you'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You can see it on ABC and ESPN. One of the guys calling that game for ESPN, their analyst, Lewis Riddick, joins us here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Lewis, thanks so much for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. You get the last words. Your crew gets the last words on Super Wild Card Weekend. Let's just start there. How do you like this new setup with a Monday night playoff game?
Well, I think for us it's great simply because this is this time slot that Monday night football is obviously synonymous with, and the fact that we now get to call a wild card playoff game in this time slot instead of, you know, branding it as Monday Night Football on a Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock is actually, it's kind of cool. And I think everybody is familiar with how important games are when they're put into this, in this time window. I think the players, having talked to the Rams and the Cardinals this past weekend, are excited about it, knowing that this is the lone singular game that ends this weekend on Monday night out here in Los Angeles. That's about as big as it gets, man. It's a great stage for us, a great stage for them. We're just hoping we can do them justice by a good, solid call.
It's fascinating to me because the two previous games between these two teams look nothing like one another. And then you get tonight, you got the Cardinals losers of 4 of 5. Rams have won 4 of 5, but the Rams haven't always looked good doing so. And it seems like more pressure is on the Rams to get this victory tonight. What are some of the key points in your mind that this game is going to pivot on?
Oh, I definitely think that the quarterback that can keep his team on schedule, it will be the number one focal point, meaning no self-inflicted penalties on first down, no negative plays on first down, so they're not in second and long, third and long situations where both of these defenses can then get creative and tee off. I think that will be where it starts. That will be on Kyler and Matthew, obviously on the offensive lines and wide receivers and everyone else as well, but that's really where the game will hinge. Whoever really wins the first down battle, we talk about the third down battle all the time, but whoever wins the first down battle really is the one that's going to have the upper hand, because both of these defenses, quite honestly, want to play from ahead and want to rush. And they either want to, because they have guys like Chandler Jones for Arizona, J.J. Watt's going to play in this game. They have guys like Aaron Donald, Von Miller, and Leonard Floyd. I mean, naturally, that's what they want to do. So I think you need to look at that first turnover differential. Obviously, is going to be huge. We know that Matthew has had some issues with that down the stretch, and we know that. Look, I think on the from Arizona's standpoint, they need to make sure that they're still able to produce explosives even without DeAndre Hopkins, which means a guy like AJ Green to me has to have the biggest night of his time here in Arizona this year. And a guy like Zach Ertz and plus Chase Edmonds, you know, and James Conner have to really catch the ball well out of the backfield in the middle of the field. So look, there's a ton of storylines, really, that will affect the outcome of this game. But without a doubt, quarterback efficiency, keeping offenses on schedule so you can play with a lead and you're not playing from a deficit will go a long way to determining which team is climbing uphill and which team is really playing true to how they want to play.
ESPN Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick, our guest here on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Yeah, you hit where I was going, Lewis, on this next question. The pressure on quarterbacks and Matthew Stafford, the pressure on him after the Rams gave up so much to get him, to elevate them to the next level, that's clear. But obviously there's pressure on Kyler Murray, too, in his first career playoff game as a guy who's been labeled as, you know, the franchise saver at quarterback. In your discussions with Cardinals personnel and with Kyler, what did you pick up on in his demeanor heading into his first playoff game?
Yeah, I think it's simply this, and he wasn't the only one who said this, but it's that, look, the same things that got you beat during the regular season will get you beat in the playoffs, and the same type of things that help you produce quality wins during the regular season will help produce quality wins here in the playoffs. So I think their point was this. The thing that you saw down the stretch that caused them to falter, which was self-inflicted penalties, playing from behind the sticks, giving up big plays on the defensive side. Those are the kind of things that if they commit tonight, and they do tonight, they'll lose the football game. So I think they know exactly what it means to play clean football. That's where his focus was in particular, making sure he gets his team into the right place, because Kyler, make no mistake, controls this offense once it's on the field. Cliff gives him the keys and says, go. You make the decisions, both in the run game and pass game. What's the best runs we need to get into? Where does the ball need to go? And they roll with that. So I think Kyler's focus is really just playing a clean football game. I don't think he thinks he needs to try anything out of the ordinary in order to win this game. Although, I will say this. He said he is willing to do whatever is necessary. So by that, I'm sure he means if I need to run it more tonight, if I need to use my athletic ability more tonight, I will, because there is no tomorrow if we don't win. So I'm not trying to preserve myself for a 17-game season anymore. It's a one-game season now.
Yeah.
So I think you will see the very best of him, just like you will see from Stafford.
The Rams' defense has got three Hall of Fame players. They also have a guy in Eric Weddle who hasn't been in the game in quite some time. Where do you think they're vulnerable if you do think they're vulnerable?
Yeah, I think the communication aspect of the Rams' defense is what has been their Achilles heel. And by that, I mean, look, most big plays happen in the NFL to any defense because of lack of communication and coverage busts in the back end and or bad eyes, meaning you're staring in the backfield, wide receiver runs a double move, and then he gets behind you and you can't recover. It's usually the two things that when we're sitting there going, what the hell just happened, it's one of those two. They had a coverage bust or DBs were looking somewhere where they weren't supposed to. So I think Eric Weddle, in particular, he calms down the communication aspect for them and really solidifies it and makes all these guys, I think, feel much more comfortable knowing that no matter what they come out with in terms of personnel and how they deploy the personnel, he will be a step ahead in terms of making sure they're in the right coverage adjustments, especially if they start motioning and moving, which is what really the key to playing in the secondary. It's cool when it comes out and it's just a nice static formation and you're like, okay, well, in the meeting they said this is what we're doing. When things start moving around, that's when guys get confused. That's where leverages get compromised. That's where big plays happen. We watch them in practice, man. Eric Weddle, for a guy who's been coaching his son's Pop Warner football team, looks like a guy who's been involved in football for the past year and a half. Yeah. He looks like someone who's actually been there. I don't know how long he's going to play, but I know he's going to play a big role for them and help calm things down. Now, if they lose the one-on-one battles to Christian Kirk or lose the one-on-one battles to A.J. Green or Zach Ertz, then that's just the, you know, the nature of the beast. But I think they will play a clean game from a communication perspective.
Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. You mentioned it earlier, Lewis, about, you know, A.J. Green needing to have a big game, maybe his biggest game as a Cardinal. And we've seen good A.J. Green, and we've seen some miscommunication with Kyler Murray during the course of the year. In your preparation for the game, for this game, what do you see when you look at that issue of miscommunication between quarterback and veteran receiver in A.J. Green? What seems to be standing out there?
Yeah, I mean, nothing really stands out other than the fact that, look, this is, I mean, when you have two guys who haven't ever played together, but they work like hell at it in terms of trying to make sure they get on the same page, that he knows all the different signals. He knows exactly where he expects, where Kyler expects him to be. Kyler knows where to put the ball in ideal places that make A.J. most comfortable. That takes time. That's going to be something that's going to have some hiccups. It's going to have some growing pains. It just is. So I don't care how good of a receiver A.J. is or how good of a quarterback that Kyler is. It takes time. It takes reps. Yeah. It takes a process of familiarity. They're getting there, and they'll be there. Look, they hit some big plays. I just think that tonight, they know what's at stake, and it's funny. When people know that it's that type of situation, you guys drill down on the details. It's human nature. It's human nature for us to ratchet up our attention to detail when we know that the stakes are ultra high. Or we fold up and kind of go ball up in the corner, shrink from the situation.
Yeah.
These guys are premium grade A athletes. They're not going to do that to play their best.
Lewis, thanks so much for making some time for us this morning. Really appreciate it. Have a great call tonight.
Not a problem. Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you, Lewis Riddick. ESPN Monday Night Football analyst. He joined us on the 72 Sold Sports Line. Get your price at 72sold.com. Coming up, final thoughts heading into super wild card matchup between the Cardinals and the Rams. We'll give you our thoughts on our way out next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata, Song of the Day.
Yeah, Jared.
He's paying attention.
He noted it.
You're rolling hot today,
that
Carlin.
That was first hour of the show, and
yeah,
I know.
Right.
Wow.
Who are you,
and what have you done with Jared Carlin?
Right. And right. You're right, it is Poison. It's
a terrible song,
hey,
too.
But what group is it?
It is Poison.
See what I did there? See what I did?
Not only is Jared sharp.
We're all ready.
He's right there with him.
We are rolling hot into the game tonight. Why did hair bands all feel the need to, like, have these kind of songs in their catalog as well?
In a word, you can trace this back to the success of Appetite for Destruction. Okay, so Guns N' Roses comes out with this wicked, raw, great album, but the song that appealed to female rock and roll fans was Sweet Child of Mine. So all the rock and roll, glam, hair bands, metal bands, they were looking for the crossover hit that brings them in the big audience.
Poison,
namely,
Whitesnake,
the
Monty
girls.
Yeah. Hey. That's what it boils down to.
Right.
But Sweet Child of Mine isn't as, I mean, that's a great,
that's a little
great,
bit more,
yeah.
More than, it's a little bit more than a ballad.
This is lame junior high slow dance crap.
But they all have it like Whitesnake,
they all have one.
Crew,
yeah, they all had to go write that ballad. Yeah. Every last one of them. You're absolutely right.
If you're looking for a better something to believe in, Young the Giant. Different
Young
song,
the Giant.
Same title.
Yeah.
You probably know the song without
realizing
that you know the song.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a great, great song, great band.
But my mind is stuck in the 80s, so we got this instead. Thank you, Jared. Today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata going off the grid.
Off the grid.
Brought to you by Sweet James Accident Attorneys. If you've been hurt in an accident, call Sweet James at 800-500-5200 or sweetjames.com.
A little daily dose of Vinny Joe trivia for you. And watching Josh Allen play, one of my biggest takeaways from that was, how is that not a perfect quarterback rating of 158.3? 157.6. He was so close to joining a very small fraternity. Only four quarterbacks in NFL playoff history have thrown a perfect game in a playoff game.
Wow. Can you name them?
Yeah, I'll give you hints on, I'll give you teams and years. Some of them are easy. One of them not that easy. First one to do it, 1967 Dallas Cowboys.
Who was their
Roger Staubach?
Was that Staubach?
That was pre-Staubach.
Craig Morton?
No.
No idea.
We just talked to a Monday Night Football analyst. This gentleman was also very well known as a
Don Meredith?
Don Meredith. First guy to do it.
Who knew?
Okay. Steelers, 76.
Terry Bradshaw.
Seahawks, 83.
Jim Zorn?
Nope. After Zorn. Former Cardinal.
Dave Craig.
And Colts 2004.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
So Kurt Warner didn't have it in that game versus
the isn't that
Packers?
Crazy?
Isn't that weird?
Kurt Warner, 154.1. He was 29 of 33 for 379 yards, 5 touchdowns, and no picks.
5 touchdowns, 4 incompletions.
Yeah, which is what Josh Allen did. And neither one of them.
Oh, I didn't know that. Did he really?
Perfect, yeah. Josh Allen, five touchdowns and 21.
Right.
But Kurt did it on 33 attempts. Crazy stuff. You know, we just had Lewis Riddick on, and he tweeted this out. This is something to look for, and it's going to lead me to a bold prediction for tonight.
Uh-oh.
Lewis Riddick credited Doug Clawson, ESPN researcher. Kyler Murray has completed 81% of his passes inside the numbers this season, the highest mark by any quarterback in 15 years, which is amazing considering there's so much made of his stature, his height, or lack thereof, that he could see the middle of the field that good. He also then followed it up with the Rams' defense has allowed a 79% completion percentage inside the numbers this season, the second highest mark by any defense in the last 15 years.
So you beat him down the middle of the field? Is that what you're saying, Vinny?
Work the middle of the field.
Okay.
Zach Ertz over 100 yards tonight.
Oh, this is the game.
This is the game.
This is the night. Yeah, he's their most pedigreed receiver.
Yeah, and going back to the conversation with Lewis Riddick, if A.J. Green has a spectacular game where they could push the ball down the field, yeah, I like their chances that much more.
Right.
But that's been such a crapshoot, and you just don't know what you're going to get from that combo from week to week.
It feels like whatever connection is there between Kyler Murray and A.J. Green, it's kind of like the internet connection in my house. It's not very good.
Oh, we remember that from the early days.
We found that out from early pandemic days. When Bick broadcasted from home for 2 days, I think.
No, a day and a quarter. Jared's like, you better get in here, dude.
Yeah, a day and a quarter. And then
right,
it was
right.
Then it was Murata getting banished to home for the next 6 months.
That's it was like this. It was, hi, is that Bick? Quit playing Fortnite. You're ruining the connection.
You 11-year-old monster. Right.
That's exactly what was going on. That's funny.
A lot has been made going into this matchup that the Cardinals have been two different teams, a great road team and a very run-of-the-mill average or below-average home team. This game on the road, Steve Keim, general manager of the Cardinals, on Friday, talking with Burns and Gambo. Is there a little part of you that's glad to see this game on the road?
I think that maybe that it becomes a mental thing after a while, unfortunately, you know, because there's no doubt that, you know, when you look at this year, the way it played out, disappointed about the way we played at home at times. But I also don't want to take away from the things we've accomplished to win 11 games in the regular season, to go to the playoffs, all those things, because I'm very, very proud of this football team and the organization, and I think we've come a long way. But, you know, playing on the road, again, is a great task and something that our players almost relish, and I'm not sure why, but our ability to play fast, to play with tempo, and to play football at a high executed level on the road has been fun to watch, and I expect us to be good on Monday night as well.
Yeah, that could be you know, an advantage right now for the Cardinals being such a good road team. That's washed away by the experience factor. If you just stack up head coach, quarterback, the experience in the postseason is all on the Los Angeles side of things. Even though Matthew Stafford's experience has not been a winning one, 0-3, and he's going to feel some weight of that pressure, but you know, we have no idea, even hours before this game, what to expect from playoff Cliff Kingsbury or playoff Kyler Murray.
Yeah, and I would say that what you hope for is that we are going to be talking about Kyler Murray the way the NFL world's talking about Josh Allen, and we'll be not talking about Cliff Kingsbury the way they're talking about Mike McCarthy. That seems to be the yin and the yang.
There you go.
Right? And what an opportunity for the head coach here, too, because you win a playoff game, you can blow that narrative out of the water, at least for another year.
Yeah, I mean, if you find a way to win this game tonight, those questions about Cliff Kingsbury get real, real, real quiet.
Because the idea that you can't win a big game, well, I just won a playoff game. What's next?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest game he will have coached in.
Yeah, and then you get to play with total house money against the Buccaneers. And
the defending Super Bowl champions on the road. Yeah. Nobody expects you to win.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the dividing line between success and failure tonight, not to put too fine of a point on it.
Now, that, again, is the questions can get real loud if the Cardinals don't find a way to win tonight. And tomorrow we're having discussion after discussion over some weird in-game operations or some strange play calls or a decision to go for it on fourth down in your own territory that backfires, which we've talked about recently with this team. But, again, I'm hoping that, and I've asked a lot of guests over the last week plus about this clean slate mentality. You're 1-4 in your last five going into the playoffs. You got to feel like you've been given a new day and a new opportunity, and hopefully that holds some weight for the Cardinals tonight.
Yeah, I can't wait. I hope we're having a big, big, happy, happy radio show tomorrow, Vinny.
Yes, and we'll do it from two different cities tomorrow. I'll be here. You'll be in Los Angeles. Safe travels.
Thank you, man.
Watch for a Bick stuff on ArizonaSports.com along with Tyler Drake, who's making the trip out as well. Thanks to Lorenzo Alexander, Lewis Riddick for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out on this Big Red Monday, which continues next. Wolf and Luke, straight ahead here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.